Are you ready, kids? Get your parents' permission, check your mailbox, and grab your shopping cart. It's time for the Adventures in Collecting podcast.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome to Adventures in collecting,
where we talk toy news, culture, and hauls,
along with our journeys as collectors.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Adventures in Collecting.
Hi, and Eric, I'm just going to cut to the chase. If you could not bury the lead today, that would be ideal.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to do. So we have special guests today. You know today's guests as the judges on Fox hit series LEGO Masters, which is currently running season 2, and as LEGO Brick Masters and as returning guests to the podcast. Welcome back to Adventures in Collecting, Amy Corbett and Jamie Berard. Welcome, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us. It's awesome to be back.
Hello, welcome back.
Great to hear from you again.
It's been so long. We've had you guys on separately in various capacities. We got an awesome tour and introduction to LEGO Dots back at Toy Fair from Amy, and then of course we sat down with Jamie last year, and it's great to have you guys on at the same time.
We love being together.
Yeah, we're excited when we get to be a little team again.
Yeah.
So we always open up the show by asking our guests what you're currently collecting. And Jamie, last time we had you on, you told us about your pop-up book collection.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to need an update on that. And then, yes, Amy, we're going to need to know what you're currently collecting.
Mm. Cool. Good question.
Yeah.
Jamie goes first because I'm going to have a little think about
it. Well, I'm very proud to own the Harry Potter Diagon Alley pop-up book. I don't know if you've seen it, but it actually not only is a pop-up book, but it unfolds and unfolds and unfolds to create Diagon Alley as an entire pop-up scenario scene. So really impressive, really fun. But it's fun to see how they've evolved the pop-up book concept to become even more outrageous than it's already.
Yeah, it's crazy. And once it unfolds, does it have all kinds of like little tabs so you can move stuff and make the different parts of the alley come to life?
Yeah, it always has these like little discovery moments and things like that. And it's the guy, Matthew Reinhardt, is just genius at doing all of these things.
So cool. So cool.
Yeah.
Amy, what about you? What are you currently collecting?
It is a good question. I would say, and I guess I'm going in the LEGO, but maybe because I'm making brickheads again for this season. So last season, I made all my outfits in brickhead form from the show. This year, I'm redoing that challenge. So I'm at the one episode in collecting my 12 new outfits from season 2. Does that count as collecting?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I actually, my daughter, my eldest daughter, my 5-year-old, we just built her first 2 set of brickheads. So Uncle Dave, the other voice on this podcast, got her the Grogu and Mandalorian brickhead duo. So we put those together, and they're now living on her nightstand. So
amazing. They are good ones for sure.
Oh yeah, they were awesome to put together. I have them too. So what LEGO set started your love of the brick?
Ooh, for me, it was probably pointing to me. For me, it was probably a fire truck was one of the earliest memories that I have. That it didn't even have to be a fire truck. It was just this idea that you had a toy that you could actually make into anything that you wanted. And I did. And I think it was also great that I just had family and friends that encouraged me to not have to protect it and keep it, you know, as that fire truck. Like whatever I was making, as silly as it was awesome to them. Like, wow, I can't believe you made it. Why don't you describe what it is? So you can kind of think back to the language they were using. And as a kid, you don't notice. But yeah, I think it was just a simple fire truck. And ever since then, it's gotten more and more ridiculous to the point that now, yeah, I have at least two roommates worth of Lego bricks in my house. They're not paying rent.
Yeah, and I think my earliest memory of a set would be, I think I had a Paradisa set was the first one I can remember having. It was a little park and a little lady with a pushchair and a sand pit. But I have to say that I think Olivia's House, one of the first Lego Friends one, was probably the one that reignited, the more recent sets probably reignited my passion and love for Lego, because I'm a huge fan of Lego Friends and I love building the sets and working on and designing them as well.
Sorry, I just need to share a dirty little secret that Amy might not know, is that I actually worked on Olivia's House.
I did know that.
So I also have an emotional attachment with that one. So
look at you guys connecting on like every level possible. It's insane.
Yeah.
No.
It's the coolest.
So we had this, we actually had this conversation last night, my wife and I, as we were catching up on Lego Masters. But I always did this thing where when I had a set, I built it once. And Jamie, what you said about the fire truck just made me think of this, but I used to build the set once. And then what I would do is after I was done playing with it and, you know, and putting it together, I would break it up and put it in a loose bag with a bunch of other broken up Lego sets. And I mean, it kept all the instructions and everything, but it was just cool. Like after building it, to your point, to then see like what else you could do with those bricks outside of the instructions. So, that drove my wife nuts. She was like, no, it had to go back in the box. I had to build it again later.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, I think mine was like the Lego castle from the King's Castle back from like back when I was a very little kid. Like I was probably like 4 or 5 years old when I got that. That was the King's Castle was like one where it was a castle once and it was never a castle again.
Yeah, but that's the beauty of Lego bricks, right? Is that they can live so many lives. They can make so many different creations. And I love that people take the sets apart and make new creations with them. I think that's incredible.
But Dave, if you had the castle, were you building it into other types of castle or were you going totally blue sky, like spaceships and whatever you wanted?
Just different structures, like different houses or buildings.
Cool.
Awesome.
Because they had those little arches, so you could always kind of do stuff with them that way.
Yeah.
So speaking of favorite Lego sets, you know, what's a Lego set or specific Lego genre that you guys have worked in that's been your favorite so far?
I've always been a town fan, like Lego Town, becoming Lego City, becoming the modular buildings. I love building buildings, the world around me. And what I like about it is that, especially like old architecture, there's so many of these little bitty details and faces on buildings and there's so much personality. And we have so many fun bricks for minifigure accessories, like, you know, hammers, like, you know, Thor's hammer that you just look at and you're like, oh, this makes an amazing stone to put as a detail on top of a building. I have to admit, even today, if I go to one of the bigger cities, I can't help but look at buildings to get inspired and see Lego elements and all the little details like, oh, I could actually, you know, use this for that. And then I get excited to come home and give it a try.
Yeah. And for me, I think, of course, Lego Friends will always have a very special place in my heart, but I'm super excited on Lego Dots, on what we're doing with the tiny little tiles and just showcasing, you know, how much creativity, how much experimentation, how much you can play with color with these tiny little pieces. So for me, it feels like we have, you know, the same old Lego that people know and love, but we've just done it in such a new way that it feels so fresh and fun. And it's been really exciting to go on the journey from just an idea to actually launching that product.
I love when I go out and I see people that are wearing Lego Dots bracelets. Like, it's just like, I see it way more than like, I love them. I think they're great. I have a bracelet myself. You know, it was great getting the introduction to them back at Toy Fair, but it's just one of those things where like, I love that people have kind of adopted it as part of their like everyday wear. It's like, you got a watch on one hand, you got a Dots bracelet on the other hand, and you know, you're creating your own fun little font and figuring out how to spell, you know, words or like initials. It's just, it really is. It's a really cool product.
Eric, Maddie, right down to the shoes, right?
Like yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you can have it all kinds. And I think that was something really interesting in season two, actually, that we saw a lot of the builders kind of adopting this way of decorating with dots and putting the colors together and using it for fonts. And it's kind of just opened a door. It's not new pieces that we never had before. It's just using them in a new way that is really exciting, I think.
But I think there's another angle that we were surprised by. I don't know if you had a chance, either of you, to see the first episode, but you know, when Don and Jack, you know, Don, they're wearing their bracelets Kelsey. And then, you know, it's also like we often view Lego bricks in order to create something that you look at. It's kind of off to the side. But for them, it was a very personal story. And I actually thought it was really nice to see how someone that they cared about, by having that on their wrist, kept that person close with them. So it actually was a very touching moment for me when I saw that and learned the story that they had to share. It is another way that I never thought I would see Lego bricks being used, but it actually was really special.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, and Dave, you were going to say too about the sneakers, the Dot sneakers.
Yeah, the sneakers, mm-hmm. And like there's the bag clips now. Like I know I got Maddie the little dog bag clip.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes, we have some the little bag tags, and you can create little animals and customize them and change their faces. So we're having a lot of fun playing with it. I hope you guys are too.
Yes.
So we just started talking about season two. Excellent segue into season two of Lego Masters. And we've seen some bigger and more exciting builds right from the first couple of episodes, like the Lego Day Parade and the explosion build.
Yeah.
What goes into the creation of these build ideas?
Ooh, a lot.
Yeah. I mean, we actually have so many challenges. And even in season one, we had quite a lot of challenges that never made it into the first season. And then it's really just a conversation about, number one, the balance of challenges, making sure that we are really showing all the skills of our, you know, Lego Masters contestants. But also just trying to make sure that we have something that just looks really cool on TV. That's just impressive to see what people can do with the Lego bricks. And we have a team of people behind the scenes that are actually trying each of these challenges out. And they're really good builders. They should be on the show as contestants themselves. But they're trying to make sure that we're given just the right amount of time, but not too much, you know, to create that nice, healthy balance of, forcing a degree of creativity by not, again, letting people wander too much, but then also allowing for the models to really surprise us and offer things that even in testing that we couldn't have imagined were possible.
Yeah. And I think, for instance, something like the first challenge with the parade float, we just wanted to give people a chance to show us who they are, to see a bit of their personality, for them to kind of make their entrance into the competition with something really fun and celebratory. Yeah. And then throughout the competition, we want to push those different angles of how your technical abilities, how's your storytelling, how creative can you be, how big can you build, and get a real sense of who they are as Lego builders.
Yeah,
and not to spoil anything from episode two, because I know, you know, there are some people that are going to catch up and watch it later, but it's one of those things where, like, the motion aspect of the first challenge, like, there are Lego sets that include, you know, pieces in order to make things move. Mm-hmm. But it was funny as you guys were going around from, you know, you guys and Will were going around from workstation to workstation, and it was like, have you thought about where you're going to put your explosives?
Yeah, how often do we get to say that?
And it's just one of those things where I'm thinking, like, I could imagine, you know, I've been, you know, Dave and I have been playing with Legos our entire lives, and it's like, I've never once had to think about where I was going to put an explosive in my Lego mm-hmm. set.
And I don't think any of our teams have either, for sure, thought about that. So it was really just a very different aspect for them to add to their Lego builds. And also just thinking about how can you build something that actually mm-hmm. meant to look amazing when it's destroyed, and that will blow up in the way that you plan. I think that was a big challenge for some of our teams.
Yeah. And I think it sounds weird, but we needed to sometimes give them that prompt, because you get in go mode and you just start building, and then you fall back on how you would normally build, which sometimes mm-hmm. makes it too strong, or you're not necessarily thinking of the end goal. And so you sometimes need to give this little prompt, just reminding them, hey, what are your thoughts on how this is going to be destroyed?
And it's funny, because a couple of the builds actually wound up going that way too, which where it was like, yeah, this was too strong. Like I was thinking of the jewelry store where the front just kind of stuck on.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where we're always conflicted, because, you know, nobody knows how to explosive. Nobody's worked with explosives before. And so they're trying their best to figure out how it's going to work. But when it doesn't quite work, you can't help but feel what they're feeling, like, you know, if only mm-hmm. whatever. But I also was super impressed, considering nobody's done this before. Some of those just got obliterated. Like they just looked amazing.
Yeah. And the slow-mo shots are just amazing.
Unreal.
Perfect. Yeah. It's such a great way to showcase that.
Yeah.
We've got 12 teams this season. How do you go about selecting the teams, and how did the decision come about to expand the size of the roster for season two?
I mean, the whole process of selecting the teams is quite extensive. Of course, we had lots of people that had seen season one and kind of thought I could be a part of this. So there's a whole audition process where we want to see a little bit about who you are, but we also want to see what you can build. And then there's a stage where we kind of want to test people under pressure. So how can they work with their partner? How do they work if we give them a time limit on the challenge? So they do go through a little bit of like, what's the show like? To see, can you really build these awesome things when you have only a short period of time? And I think this year we just had so much talent. We had some great challenges, and we thought, why not just go bigger and have even more teams and showcase that talent? And I think you can see that the standard of builders is incredibly high. I mean, yeah. Jamie and I absolutely have our work cut out for us every single week, because you are sending good builders home right from the get-go.
Yeah, and I think you probably saw in the first episode that they were already referencing people from the first season that they knew or they were inspired by. And so I do think that the first season, people had to be really brave to take a chance to go on a show that they hadn't seen and don't really understand or expect anything. But now that people have seen the formula, that many people are excited by it and actually inspired to think, actually, I see myself in that team and I could probably also do this. So I think in many ways, by having a great season one and a great cast of people, it inspired season two people to just come out of the woodwork and give it a shot.
Yeah.
It's my favorite competition show on TV.
Oh, cool.
Because I want everyone to win.
Yeah. No, we do too. Imagine how tough it is when you actually have to pick ones to win and ones to go home every week. But I think that vibe that it gives, and the fact that everyone is just rooting for the team so much, even at home, is what makes it pretty special.
Yeah. I don't think there's any other competition show where like the first elimination, everybody is just devastated. Like usually like the first ones, everyone's like, all right, cool. You know, we've only been here for a couple of weeks, but that, you know, that second episode, it was just like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. It gets harder. It gets tougher as it goes on.
Well, on the lighter side of things, you guys get to work with Lego Batman himself, Will Arnett, on the show. How important was it to have a host as connected to the Lego brand as him and guest judges that are a part of the Lego family?
I think it's super important to have that. I mean, everyone has their unique Lego story, and I think that's something pretty special. And someone like Will, not only is he the voice of Lego Batman, but he's also, you know, he builds Lego with his family. His kids are into Lego. It's this special family time that they have together. And actually, even from season one into season two, you could see Will was much more engaged and had learned so much from season one, even in what Jamie and I were looking for as judges, and really like, what do you think of this guy? Is this good?
Yeah. I definitely think, I mean, considering how accomplished Will is, you know, he's a Hollywood actor. He's done so many things, Arrested Development, movies, cartoons. And the fact that he still, when he talks about, you know, what are the highlights of your career that you are most proud of or what you love, like for him to say Lego Batman, and, you know, there's something awesome about that. And I think it's because kids know Lego Batman and love it. And it just, anywhere he goes, he's just loved because he can't help but speak. And as soon as he speaks, that's all you hear. You're like, I know that guy. But being able to work with him was amazing. As far as like, we had a much more relaxed season two. Like we knew each other better. And if anything, I'm hoping it comes through because we haven't seen the future shows, but we're really hoping even a fraction of the mischief that happened because he's a very mischievous guy. But the fact that he's actually picking on us in season two and having, you know, some really fun moments in a good way, it made us feel like, okay, we're in. Like he feels comfortable enough to highlight some of our more curious qualities.
I have to say he's getting really good at his Scottish accent. He's been practicing. And
I was going to ask.
He's nailing it.
I was going to say, has he added a Scottish accent to his repertoire yet? That was going to be my.
Oh yeah, it comes out every now and so often, doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
Sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a bad way, because he's like, I don't even know what you just said there, Amy.
I even loved the just how every pun before he blew up, hit the plunger to blow up the builds for the explosion episode, like everyone was just punnier and punnier every time. Like it was just, by the end, I'm like rolling on the floor. It was so funny. Yeah.
And it's actually
season two are all about the brick puns, right? Season two is all about the brick puns.
Yeah. It's contagious.
And he, I mean, he works perfectly for that kind of irreverent sense of humor that exists with like the Lego media, right? Yeah. So like whether it's like the Lego video games or what they've done in the films, like that kind of like self-referential humor, it just works perfect for him. It's a great fit.
And it actually is nice because he has expressed how genuinely awed he is by the talent in the room. Like he said so many times, like, why am I even here? You guys are so talented and brilliant. So it actually plays to that comedy, like you said, like he genuinely is approaching it like, wow, you guys are doing amazing stuff. But he's sharp enough and smart enough to like on the spot, he's just there and he comes up with the funniest stuff. Like his goal is to actually ruin a take in many ways, because if he can get the camera crew to start laughing, that's when he's like, this is my day, you know? And that's ultimately what his goal is that he's just loving every minute of it. And he genuinely is like on the spot, just that funny. He just brings stuff up that you would never expect. And you just start laughing.
Yeah. The delivery is unreal.
Yeah.
So speaking of the show, there are also versions of Lego Masters that air around the world. Have you ever collaborated with your counterparts from those versions of the show?
Yeah, we're all chatting all the time. I think we're certainly looking across the big pool of challenges to discuss what works well and what we can use. But also just when we bump into the other Brickmasters in the office, we're just having a little chit chat and like sharing experiences, what worked well, what didn't, what's exciting about it. It's just fun to catch up from other countries on how the builders are, what the teams are like, and what the challenges have been.
And the other thing is that each of the shows is different. There's no carbon copy that the shows follow. And the closest we've seen to like the US version is the French one. Amy and I, maybe Amy, you have a secret, but neither of us speak French. And we couldn't help ourselves. We just wanted to watch some of the episodes. And it was really fun because you don't even have to know what they're saying to enjoy the energy of the moment, or just, you know, we're fast forwarding and then we're like, oh, well, look at that. You don't see it in the creations. But it is fun to have such a variety of approaches to the same show. And the fact that we can still, in our season, have unique offerings that nobody else has done, considering there's, you know, so many other ways of doing it. You can tell the builders, in many ways, they are aware of the other shows, and many of them did try to, you know, catch up and see what other shows were doing. And that's where they got even more excited when we were still doing something that they felt was fresh and new that they weren't expecting. They were almost energized by that. Like, whoa, I had no idea that this was coming. This is going to be so much fun to figure out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes to show like truly the global reach of Lego, right? You know, it is what it is in the United States, and that's the way that the show kind of portrays it. But I have had the opportunity to watch a handful of episodes from some of the other countries' versions, and it's exactly right. It's like a look into what Lego culture is in another country, and it's so cool. It is just the coolest.
Very true.
Speaking of the Lego universe as a whole, in your design work, what is one Lego property that you have yet to work on that you would love to take a crack at?
Ooh. I already got to try a little bit of Lego Friends when I was in the early days. And that's one that I really wanted to get in on. So for me, I did get a taste of that, but is there still another one? I'd probably go into Star Wars. I actually love that universe. If I build at home something, I actually love the spaceships. I love the vehicles. So I might dabble in some Star Wars.
For me, being in Dots right now, I think I would go for something quite different with maybe Harry Potter or some of the superheroes themes that's all about storytelling, that's all about the fun details. And especially in Harry Potter, I love the magic and the way of how the different ways you could try to express magic through bricks, something that's actually invisible, is quite a fun challenge for me.
both of those kind of make sense. Cause like, you know, following you, Amy, on social media, you know, your love for theme parks and, you know, we can actually see Woody, but hanging out behind you,
yeah.
You know, the idea of kind of that like world building, you know, it totally tracks. Mm-hmm. And Jamie, the architectural aspect of like those Star Wars ships, especially mm-hmm. those big like cruisers and stuff. Yeah. Like, again, like it's, you guys are finding a way to branch out, but also stay in your wheelhouse at the same time.
Yeah.
We see what you're doing.
I think that's very true.
Dave, I realized we skipped over a question. Did you want to ask if our guests were currently building any sets?
Yeah, sure. Well, I guess Eric just asked it. What sets are you currently building yourselves?
I just finished the Lego house molding machine and I got permission, which took about 6 years to get, to finally buy the UCS Millennium Falcon. And that is next on my list of builds. And I have been waiting for this for years.
Nice.
We still don't know where it's going to go, but at least it's in the house.
And I am in between builds at the moment, actually. I'm building my brickheads each week. So I've got a new brickhead to build right now for episode 2, but I have the Winnie the Pooh box sitting ready to open and build whenever I get a chance. But we've had some glorious sunny weather in Denmark right now, and Jamie and I have learned in the time we've been in Denmark, you have to embrace that sunshine while it's here. But as soon as a rainy day comes, Winnie the Pooh is going to get straight out, and I'm very excited for that.
Awesome. Yeah, both of those sets are epic.
Yeah, fantastic.
Well, with that, Dave, before we let our guests go, do you want to hit him with our final question?
I do. So this is our kind of go-to last question. What is your favorite and or strangest piece in your collection? It can be one of each or it can be both.
Lego collection.
It could be Lego. It could be anything.
I have, my most prized possession is a box of Lego sealed where the entire box somehow in the machinery has been mushed, and it built a box. Picture all of the graphics being moved to the corner and the box just barely closes, but they like built the box wrong and it was sealed. So the Lego logo is like wrapped around the side. It looks like a mutant box. And yet it's perfect. It's perfect. Like, it has crisp edges. It's sealed. The bags are inside. And yet this box should have never gotten out. And I just love that I have it, because somehow it snuck in and it was meant for me. And so now I just hold on to that as one of the rarest moments of something that otherwise Lego is so perfect in so many ways. I hate to say it, but I actually revel in these moments of curiosity.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything as good as Jamie's, but maybe mine would be in my Lego collection. I have an old version of the Arkham's Asylum. And I think I got it really early on when I had just started in the Lego group. And I remember that my team, all the guys in my team, were so shocked that I would buy that, because they're like, Amy, you love Lego Friends. You love building the cute flowers. You're all about, you know, you want everything to be beautiful colors. And they were so surprised by this huge Arkham's Asylum set that I had bought and was so excited to build. To this day, I still haven't opened and built it, because I'm saving it for a special occasion, but I'm quite excited about that some point.
I mean, do you really need to build it though at this point? You get to work with Lego Batman. So like you get the real Lego Batman.
True. Maybe yeah. I will never build it, but one day I think I am quite excited to build it. I bought it because I wanted to build it. So at some point it's going to make an appearance.
Well, Amy, Jamie, thank you so much for joining us on Adventures in Collecting. Remind our audience,
thank you.
Where can we find you guys on the internet and where can we watch Lego Masters?
Jamie, you've got it.
Lego Masters is on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. on Fox. And I'm guessing 8 p.m. Eastern time. And then I'm at Brickmaster Jamie, at Brickmaster Jamie.
And I'm at Brickmaster Amy on Instagram and Twitter.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. And we can't wait to see what the rest of the season has in store for us.
Oh, we can't wait for you to see it.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Jamie.
Thanks so much, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us today. Subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen, and then tell your friends to do it. Thanks also to Joe Azari, the golden voice behind our intro. Our music is Game Boy Horror by the Zombie Dandies. Find more about them both in our show notes.
Follow us on social media at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Stop by and say hi, show us your toy hauls, and share your toy stories. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Don't try this at home. Void where prohibited and some assembly required. Each sold separately, not a flying toy. Consult a physician if your toy run exceeds more than 4 hours.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.